when I walk in the club. All right, 11 a.m., week one Sunday. Officially time to start boozing. Vodka Red Bull Friday is powered by Scotty's Handcrafted Vodka. Scotty's Vodka is DMV made, super smooth, and now available in select Virginia ABC stores. A proud son of Virginia, our friend Mr. PFT Commenter joins the program. PFT, what's up, man?
Good morning. Happy football weekend, guys. We made it. So excited. Cannot wait for Sunday to come here. This is really a day where I would like to wake up and have a little Scotty's vodka, some Red Bull, get the day going. It feels like this is a holiday. This should be a national holiday weekend.
Dude, driving downtown today, I was listening to you guys, and hearing you guys talk, like doing just your regular wrap-up of last night's game, all of that, but like hearing the joy in your voice, you and Big Cat, talking about week one, just had me so fired up because the Thursday night game's awesome. We're all going to watch Brazil tonight, even if it looks weird. And then Sunday is, you know, I got to work all day, but like I'm consuming football all day.
Yeah.
There's two seasons in America. There's football season and not football season. That's all. That's what we got. And now we're in the good part.
I agree. And also JMU tonight, big game for JMU going into Louisville.
I like that.
Very excited to watch that one. But you're so right about football and non-football seasons, because the second football kicks off, I think back to what I did over the summer, and I think about all the sports and all the stuff that I kind of pretended to really get into. Like, I and I'm disgusted with myself. I remember like 3 months ago, I was watching Friday non-major competitive golf on television, and I was locked in, and I thought I liked it, and now I'm like, you didn't even enjoy that one a hundredth of how much you enjoy football. And just being in football season, and I'm so pumped up. Just like previewing the games, looking at the matchups, and just talking ball. And at some point, you know, like there's only so much that we can say before the games kick off. But it's the anticipation, and I love it. I love it so much. This is it's the best time of year.
I was telling JP last week, you know, you're football depraved when you're dialed into Army and Tarleton State as if it matters. That's kind of where I was last week.
Well, I can deal with that because that's technically ball, that's football, but when you get in the summertime and you're like watching the Olympics and you're like you're pumped about fencing, oh I got to watch fencing today because you got a couple dollars on it, like it's a sad state to be in, but we're all in there, we're all in it together, and I'm not going to stop enjoying other sports in the summertime, but the amount of joy that I get from football just absolutely smashes any other sport, and I'm just so thankful that we're back.
I'm right there with you. You know what's a lot of fun, PFT, is hosting a 4-hour sports radio show in like early July. That's when it's really hitting right there.
I love hearing JP break down the Nationals pitching staff. There's nothing better.
I mean, they're 30 games under 500. Sue me.
Oh man, I spent about 6 hours the other day going and watching film and looking at stats for like the Nats players that we have in the farm system right now. I'm talking like single A, double A.
That's where you got to go.
I was like getting excited about it. And again, I'm still going to be excited about the Nats, but the fact that I was able to wring a small amount of joy out of that, it's just it goes to show you just how much more football season means to me and just the vibe in the air. You know what? Nature is truly healing. Yesterday morning here in Chicago, I'm getting ready to go to work. I go downstairs, walk outside. It's 50 degrees. Nature knows. Nature knows that it's football season. And that was it was just a great day yesterday. It's going to be a great day today. And it's going to be the best day on Sunday.
All right, so before we start talking Commanders-Giants week one, what did you think last night? I said this, and I don't know if you agree. I think from a burgundy and gold lens, last night was kind of like the worst possible outcome because Philly still got the win. And Dallas did not look like a disaster. They looked like they, at least offensively, are going to be pretty competitive.
I agree with you. Yeah, that was my thought entirely. The second the game ended, I was walking in the studio getting ready to record PMT, and Max was in front of me, and he was excited because that's actually a great feeling that you have on Thursday for team plays. If you win a Thursday night game, the entire weekend is a free roll. You're excited.
Right.
You got nothing to lose. You get to just calmly enjoy football like a normal human being. And so I was just walking in there talking to Max, who's a Philly fan. I was like, man, this is really bad for me. This is exactly what I did not need because I thought Dak looked awesome last night. I thought he played really, really well. The drops that CeeDee had, they were still like perfectly thrown balls. Dak played good enough to win that game. In fact, I think the biggest swing of the game, besides Jalen Carter getting ejected before it even started, was Dak's tackle that he made on that fumble.
That was huge. Mm-hmm. That's six.
That was going to be 6 points. And, you know, if they go in and they score a touchdown there, it's obviously a different game. They were knocking on the doorstep. But then George Pickens reared his beautiful head and clothesline Blankenship and kind of knocked him back a little bit. By the way, George Pickens, I'm going to be very interested to see what happens when he goes up against the Commanders, because he's liable to be the best football player on the field at any given time, but he's also liable to completely go insane and just black out and do something crazy. My theory is that when he puts on the shiesty that he wears, when he puts that on, he actually thinks he transforms into Sub-Zero or into Scorpion, and he becomes like a video game character, and he will do the craziest stuff, but he will also make the most amazing plays. I just hope that by the time we play against the Cowboys, and when's our first matchup again? I need to look at the schedule and remind myself.
Mid-October. I think week six-ish.
Okay, that's right in the primetime zone for Pickens to start just absolutely freaking out on his own team, because he's going into a contract season, or this is a contract year for him, and CeeDee Lamb is getting way more targets than he is. That is not going to sit well with George Pickens. I can tell you right now, that's going to be an issue for him down the line. But you're right. The Cowboys, I thought they looked really, really good, considering we buried them. They were 0-17 before the season started, right, because of how the Micah Parsons situation went down. And the Eagles, their defense, a little questionable at times. The secondary didn't look great, and they were certainly missing a big guy up the middle with Jalen Carter. But Jalen Hurts played just about as good as he can play last night. Like, there's no step back for that guy. And Saquon's going to be Saquon. I'd say worst-case scenario for Commanders fans just based on that one game. But I'm going to take it with a perspective of you got to beat somebody to be somebody, right? So we're going to find out if we're good.
Real quick, tonight's game, Chiefs and Chargers. You think the AFC still runs through KC? Do you see Baltimore or Buffalo or one of these teams being able to get through them, or is KC going to go back to the Super Bowl again?
My general policy about the Kansas City Chiefs is I'm trying to stay off the highlight reels for Kansas City, because they do this every year. Somebody doubts them, and then they have like a video that comes out where it's all the talking heads in the media that were like, Chiefs are done, Chiefs are washed, they stink, they're never going to win another division again. And then they end up going 15-2, and then you look like a real idiot. So my policy is to not give Chiefs fans or the Chiefs any sort of bulletin board material. So I will believe in the Chiefs until further notice, until they're actually the season's over and they haven't won that division. I'm just going to blindly pick them. I picked them. I think I congratulated them on winning the AFC West this morning. So I think that they've done enough. They've proven enough. I believe that they're going to win until they don't.
I heard that on PMT this morning. You guys did say that. And let's be real. You don't want to be on the wrong side of Chiefaholic either.
No. I mean, he might have been the one that shot to Andy Reid's window a year ago.
Who knows?
That was a wild story.
Wild.
That kind of just popped up for a day and then quietly disappeared.
I think
somebody's actually gunning for Andy Reid.
I think the Chiefs just run Kansas City so much that the media out there is like, okay, coach, you want this to go away? It's gone. Talking with our friend PFT commenter here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Of course, check out all PFT's work, Barstool Sports, the Pardon My Take podcast, biggest sports podcast in the world, national sports podcast. Let's talk about your team, the Burgundy and Gold. The Washington Commanders taking on the New York Giants Sunday, 1 o'clock, Northwest Stadium. How you feeling?
I'm fluctuating. I think a lot of people are fluctuating like I am, because going into a season with expectations it's a different feeling for us. So I'm kind of like, I don't know how to handle that. I don't know how to handle, you know, the possibility of crushing disappointment being a part of my life again, because I was kind of numb to it for a long time. And now I've got, you know, the expectation in the season where, and I think this is actually a healthy perspective to have. Tell me what you guys think. I think that we're going to be a much improved team this year. I think that we're going to be better than we were last year. But I don't know that our record is going to be as good as it was last year when it's all said and done. I think that's a pretty realistic expectation to have. And I could easily see it happening. On paper, our roster is much improved to where we were at this time in 2024. The schedule is going to be harder, and it's going to be hard to get all the breaks that we got last year. Now, I'm not saying luck all the time, because we put ourselves in position to win, and we didn't make mistakes down the stretch, and we had some of the most clutch quarterback play that you've ever seen in the history of the NFL on third, fourth downs at the end of games. There's just a lot of stuff that could go wrong that we could get unlucky on. So I think it's going to be tough to get to 12 wins again, but I think that we could easily be a 10-win, 11-win team with more talent than we had last year. So week one against the Giants, we got to go out there and take care of business. I mean, they've got a great, great pass rush. Abdul Carter, I wish that he was not in the division, even though he hasn't taken a snap yet. I just kind of see big things happening for that guy. So I'm gonna put trust in Dan Quinn and Cliff to come up with a good offensive game plan to try to minimize that. I'm so excited to watch Debo out there and see what that looks like in live fire under real competition on Sundays. See what he's got left in the tank. I think he's gonna be a great player because I love watching Debo Samuel play. He's so fun when he's got the ball in his hand. So I'm looking for a big game out of Debo. I'm looking for great cornerback play too. I want to see Amos out there. I want to see what it looks like. You know, like I've read all the reports coming out of training camp. I want to see what that secondary looks like. I want to get fired up because we're locking guys up on third down. So my prediction for this week is going to be 27-10, and I think it should. It's going to be easier than I'm afraid of making a prediction that is that far apart in terms of like a divisional matchup, but I want to say it and I want to force myself to believe in it. 27-10 Commanders defense steps up big time. Russell Wilson's not good. He's just not a good quarterback anymore. I know he's still got the moon ball. That's why I'm counting on the secondary to be running step for step with the Giants wide receivers. So I'm going to say 27-10 Commanders, and it's a great way to kick off the season. Sell out crowd in Rowlett, Maryland. And we got all the momentum going into week two.
It's going to be fun, man. I kind of see it similarly. We got to see it on the field, but I really like what Washington has done. And I think the Giants are going to struggle to run the football and make this thing one way. And Russ will probably turn it over a little bit. And Jaden's the difference, yeah, man.
And just don't let Malik Nabers beat you.
Right.
Yep.
PFT, I always appreciate you making time for us, dude. Thank you very much. Enjoy the games. Go Dukes tonight. Dukes and the Terps playing tonight.
Oh, let's go. Love it. So let's get a double win tonight for the boys. And, yeah, this is it's a major scenario game for the James Madison Dukes. I think if we beat Louisville tonight, if we can go in there, I think we're 14-point dogs. If we go in there and we walk out with a win somehow, that would mean, in my estimation, that we fully control our destiny. And if we go undefeated in the Sun Belt, then college football playoff. I'm looking so far ahead right now, but that's what football season is all about. I'm just saying it's there. It's there for the taking if we can go in and pull off this upset tonight.
I love it. Thank you, brother. Appreciate the time.
All right. See you guys. Have a great weekend.
That's the great PFT commenter. Check out the Pardon My Take podcast. Follow him on Twitter and Instagram, TikTok. PFT's everywhere. Appreciate him joining us. When we come back, Tiki Barber joins the program. Governor Moore, PFT commenter, Tiki Barber. How about that? For Jeff, who's apparently hunting, he's a Hokie. Toby's full Toby Hokie-nator. Boys in Blacksburg are desperate for a win.
They have to get this one on Saturday. They have to get this one against Vandy, home opener. Last year, they were kind of surprised early on by the offense that Vandy was running with Pavia.
Pavia was good, dude. Is good.
He is good, but they're not going to be surprised this year. They know what exactly is going to be showing up in Blacksburg. They got to get the win. It'd be massive for Brent Pry. It'd be probably the biggest win that he's had. coincidentally, if he doesn't win the game, it might be the last straw.
So, how long has he been there?
What is this, his fourth or fifth year? I think fourth year.
Really?
Fifth year, maybe? I'm not sure, but it's been a little bit of time. And last year, they had big expectations. Wes is saying fourth year. Last year, they had big expectations, and 6-7 after losing the bowl game, it's not good enough.
So, how long, what was Fuente? Was
it, yes.
The guy from Memphis? I thought that was going to be a great hire, for what it's worth.
I think a lot of people did.
It wasn't. Brent Prizeman, this is his fourth year. Wow.
Yeah.
What is his biggest win?
Military Bowl over Tulane? When it was a downpour?
I was just saying to Wes, like, Brent Pry needs to hope things don't go great at Norfolk State. Because that fan base, if things go well and Mike Vick's the coach.
Well, they got to get better quarterback play, I tell you that. They were good defensively against South Carolina last week, but if they don't get more out of their offense, doesn't really matter what the defense does.
I've told you, I think two of the most egregious mistakes in college sports history happened in Blacksburg. I think not hiring Shane Beamer is one. I just give the kid a chance.
Yeah.
And then two, this is going back many years, but not letting Steph Curry walk on. Telling Steph Curry, nah, man, we don't want anything to do with you. Hit the bricks.
Yeah.
Great decision. Is that Greenberg when he was coaching there, probably?
That probably was the time frame, yeah. That's a tough look. I mean, a tough look. Well, you know, only the greatest shooter of all time.
I mean, with that in your rear view, if Mike Vick looks at all like a winner, hire him.
Yeah.
Just roll the dice.
100%.
If it goes bad, it goes bad. But, like, if you can get Michael Vick and you're at Virginia Tech.
I mean, the big thing is they just have to be able to get the recruits from down in that area again, like they once did.
Right.
A lot of those people going to Penn State, going to Clemson, South Carolina. Gotta get that area.
For sure. All right, right now we are really excited to jump on the Rude Guest Hotline and talk to a Giants legend, Mr. Tiki Barber. Tiki, what's up, dude? How are you?
All's good, man. How are you? Rude Guest? Does that mean I gotta be rude to you guys today?
Well, nothing like previewing a Wahoo coming on and talking about the Hokies.
Right. Hey, my mom and dad were Hokies, so I have a soft spot despite the hate that you would think I project on them.
I'm curious because Rondé has told us he grew up, I mean, a huge Skins fan. Is that a little different for you playing in the NFC East all these years?
I mean, we were both enormous Redskins fans, obviously. And you remember Doug Williams winning a Super Bowl, black quarterback, in the mid-80s, and here we are in Southwest Virginia. It was like perfect for us. My aunt, who works with the Redskins now, or the Commanders now, I should say, in a capacity, a hospital she works for as a sponsorship deal. So,
oh, cool.
It's still tied to the family in a sense. My aunt Sharon, who actually is on the board at Virginia Tech, coincidentally enough.
Oh, wow.
So it's still tied there, but you guys can imagine. Once I become a New York Giant, all loyalties go out the door. The paychecks are coming from the Meadowlands. Things changed really quickly in 1997 when I got drafted.
I bet. Not to mention, in your career, you absolutely killed the Skins. I feel like
you
that
guys
must
know
have been,
why.
Felt
you know,
good.
You guys know why. Charlie Cashley wouldn't draft me. He said we have too many running backs. We can't draft you. He said that at our pro day. You know, he was out there to see me and Rondé and James Ferrier and Jamie Sharper. Guys who went on to have pretty good NFL careers.
Sure.
Came up to me and said, man, we have too many running backs. We love you, but we can't draft you. I said, oh, you killed me. You're killing my dream before it even gets started. So I took it out on the next 8 years or so.
Well, you definitely did.
I just looked this up. In 19 career games against the Skins, you went for 1,421 yards and averaged 5 yards
wow.
a carry.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, well, a couple of those were because I had two 200-yard games. That pads the stats a little bit.
I just looked up the total yardage. You averaged 100 yards a game against Washington in 19 career games.
Wow.
You went for 1,900 yards, basically. That's crazy.
And probably in those first, like, 7 or 8 or so, like their first few years when I really wasn't playing that much. So, I mean, if you did it on the back end of my career, it probably looks even worse.
I don't think I want to look. Of course, you can listen to Tiki on the Fan in New York, WFAN, legendary sports radio station. All right, Tiki, get us up to speed with the Giants. Seems like there's some real excitement there for maybe a bounce back year for Big Blue.
Yeah, well, I think it's excitement because we finally have some depth at a lot of positions across the board. I mean, this was one of the first off seasons and training camps where we knew we were going to cut good players, and we haven't had that in, I mean, a decade or so. And so it was a testament to how Joe Shane and Dabbs had built this team. Completely remade the quarterback room, as you guys all know, with Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, and then drafting Jackson Dart. But also remaking our identity, which I think is going to be, at least I hope it's going to be, back to the old school way of the New York Giants. Have a good pass rush, have a good second level with Bobby Okereke and Micah McFadden, and then we brought in Javon Holland and Paulson Adebo in the secondary to shore up some of the draft picks that we had the year before. So it just feels more together, more like a plan. You know, sometimes when you have these uncompetitive seasons, and last year a lot of the losses for the Giants were just uncompetitive, like unwatchable, it feels like there's no plan. Now it feels like there's a plan. So there's an optimism. Now the question is, how does it fit and mesh all together?
On the offensive side, we obviously know Malik Nabers is the top weapon. Who's their second guy? Tyrone Tracy's a really good running back, but who's that second guy that's going to step up alongside Nabers?
Well, it's hard to know. I think Theo Johnson is someone at the tight end position. As you know, tight ends have become a big part of offenses these days. It's someone they hope develops in his second year. Outside of that, I think Wandale Robinson had a ton of catches a year ago, but he's not necessarily that big play threat. Right? He's not going to get you those 20, 30-plus yard gains, but he's reliable. Right? He can catch the ball on third down. But I think, honestly, it's going to be in the run game. It's going to be Tyrone Tracy out of the backfield and Cam Scataboo if and when he gets healthy. So I think it is, interestingly, a weak spot, despite all of the, adjustments that they've made in this roster, is finding that other big wide receiver. As you guys know, with Terry McLaurin finally getting his deal done, but you went out and got Deebo Samuel. So you have those two threats, which it feels like all the really good teams in the league have, especially in the receiving room.
How is Nabers? I know there's been a little bit of health stuff there, like in training camp, but maybe guys just don't really feel like going in training camp. Is Nabers full go? Does he look good?
Yeah, no, he looks fine. And, you know, he's been dealing with a foot in something on the lower body, as we would say if we were doing hockey,
right?
Hockey injuries for really all season, all last season and in training camp this year. And then he had some back tightness, but I don't think that's really anything to worry about. So my assumption is that he's going to be full go, that he's going to be the Malik Nabers that we saw and loved last year. And, you know, if it wasn't for those two games that he missed, not because of physical injuries, because he had a concussion, I mean, he set the rookie record for receptions at 109. He probably would have had 130 or so receptions if he hadn't missed those two games. So my assumption is that he's going to be good to go, and I think he wants to be good to go. I felt this sense of him talking with him this offseason and seeing him at training camp that he has this real desire to be great. You know, and it's one of the things that good athletes have to have. Otherwise, they're just kind of good athletes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so there's that it about him that you really like and appreciate.
And what's the deal with Andrew Thomas? Obviously, I mean, he's a huge part of that offensive line. When he's out there, the Giants tend to run the ball way better. Is he full go?
I wish I had an answer. My gut is no, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, James Hudson, they brought in James Hudson for insurance reasons, or, you know, just in case Andrew Thomas isn't there. And he hasn't had a ton of experience, even though he's a younger vet. But he's got an attitude, and he's got, like, an energy about him that I think Dave's appreciates. But he's not Andrew Thomas. I mean, Andrew Thomas is Pro Bowl, all-pro level player when he's healthy. And I think they're just taking it slow right now, because the last thing you want with a 340-pounder left tackle who's had now multiple
foot injuries. One wasn't fully the Lisfranc fracture, but the second time it was the Lisfranc fracture. It's hard to get off of it. It's hard to get that thing right because you can't put weight on it. You know what I mean? So I think they're just taking it really slow. And it's one of the things that's started to frustrate Giants fans is his lack of availability, because we know how great he can be.
That defensive side of the ball you mentioned, I mean, that pass rush looks like it's going to be nasty. Second level's pretty good. Safeties are good, but I have questions at the cornerback position. Are they pretty confident with the corners that they have that they're going to be able to do what they need to do?
Yeah, this is again, like the second wide receiver that you were talking about, this is the question mark. You know, in training camp, it was a battle between Cordell Flott and Deontay Banks, who they drafted in the first round a few years ago and was suspected to be this lockdown corner. The issue is that he was kind of a Wink Martindale corner, and Wink Martindale, as you guys, if you followed us in any capacity, sure, kind of was on the outs after 2 years and got into this whatever. It was a pissing match, so to speak. And Deontay Banks had a really bad year last year. Some of it was effort, some of it was a little bit of health, and it brought some worry. Outside of that, though, I like Paulson Adebo, despite, you know, his injury, broke his femur a year ago, so he didn't play last year. But he's got the size, right? And he's got the aggressiveness that you need to match up with some of these explosive wide receivers in the NFL these days. And then our nickel corner, Drew Phillips, who we drafted a year ago in the third round, he was one of the top-rated cornerbacks in football. So I think there are pieces there, but there are definitely some holes. And, you know, this is where the depth is going to be tested, especially, you know, if guys are somewhat ineffective to start the season and they got a challenge in week one. I mean, we know what Terry McLaurin is all about. We know, at least from afar, what Deebo Samuel is about, and I'm sure we'll see it up close and personal on Sunday.
Not to mention Jaden Daniels, right? So looking ahead to Sunday.
Right. I'm right. Forget that.
I mean, NFC East games are always tight. You know, last night we saw it. Eagles were big favorites. That thing came down to the wire. What are you expecting to see Sunday?
Right. You know, if there's an advantage that the Giants have, you guys alluded to it a little bit, it's the Giants' pass rush. You know, not only did they draft Abdul Carter, who looks like he's lining up to be a stud. He's got that kind of attitude, and they're going to move him around and use him in different spots, especially in obvious pass situations. If you guys remember the Giants back when they won in 07 and 11, they had this like race car package where they had three defensive ends on the field and you're matching up against guards and things like that. That creates a liability in the run game, but it's a huge advantage when you have a guy like him rushing on a guard. I think the strength is going to be up front. Then you throw Dexter Lawrence, who is one of the best D tackles in the game. That's got to be the identity. And it's the one advantage I think the Giants have in this game to start. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen because we've only seen preseason because of the remaking of the Commanders' offensive line. As you guys know, it's four new starters over there, and so that could be the advantage, and it's where you're going to have to contain Jaden Daniels. I called a couple of Commanders games over the last couple of years for CBS, and you know, one of the things that we kept talking about, especially with Sam Howell, was, dude, they're giving up a ton of sacks. Right, I think it was like 70 or whatever it was with Sam Howell. There was a lot of pressure last year on Jaden Daniels, but Jaden Daniels is a super athlete, as you guys were alluding to. He's a star. He can escape it, and it's what made their running game so dynamic. When you have that quarterback who's your sixth skill position player, it just gets really hard to defend. You got to be disciplined as well as smart in rushing the passer and clogging up some of those run lanes.
Tiggy, it's going to be fun to watch. I know you're busy. We really appreciate you making time for us, man. Thank you.
Anytime, boys. Take care. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you do the same. Tiggy Barber. Listen to him on WFAN up in New York. You can give him a follow at Tiggy Barber. Jory Epstein, Yahoo Sports, going to join us at 12:30. Injury updates. Start with, I mean, listen, you never root for injuries, but two of the most important players on the Giants offense, Andrew Thomas, big left tackle, Malik Nabers, stud wide receiver, both seem kind of injury-wise. Reports out of the Meadowlands, I mean, you heard Tiggy Barber just now kind of say It doesn't sound great with Andrew Thomas. If he is playing, it hardly seems like he's 100%. He is practicing today. He's going to do some team drills. The Giants plan to see where he stands after practice. He just came back to camp like 10 days ago. So that's not good news for New York. Malik Nabers, I'm reading from Jordan Renan, covers the Giants for ESPN. Jordan says the Giants will, in quotes, back down on Malik Nabers at Friday's practice per coach Brian Daboll. He's dealing with back tightness. Daboll seems confident it's not a big thing. He'll be all right, Daboll said.
Yeah, back things just never, you never know with them. They're so fluky. Now, Nabers' credit, he's still young, so maybe he can get through some of those things, but like Stafford dealing with back things, Parsons dealing with back things, you just never know with those things. So potentially he could be a little less than 100%. I would still expect him to be fine playing, but if Andrew Thomas doesn't play, that's a big blow for them, right? Just losing your big-time left tackle. And I think there's still questions about what the pass rush is going to look like for Washington. If they don't have to go against Andrew Thomas, you feel a lot better about your pass rush.
Fellow by the name of Von Miller plays for Washington. Mm-hmm. It was weird. He spoke yesterday in the locker room, and it was almost like because the way training camp is set up, dudes like Von Miller don't talk all that often, and then he didn't play in any of the preseason. And not to say anybody forgot he was there, but it was like, oh, yeah, they still have this future Hall of Famer over here.
Yeah.
Not great news for Washington. Reading from Nikki Javala, covers the Commanders for The Athletic. Wide receiver Noah Brown was not on the field during the media viewing portion of practice. He was listed as a limited participant Wednesday and Thursday because of his knee. This is the injury that stems back to minicamp.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was going to be done for the year when we found out that report. Thankfully, he's been able to get on the field, but he's still probably going to miss some time this season, maybe even week one, which isn't great because they only kept the five receivers to start the year. And, you know, you can do stuff with the practice squad. They have Chris Moore down there, so maybe he could be an option. But I don't love the fact that when you inevitably lose Noah Brown because he's just missed time throughout his career. So even if he only misses a couple of weeks, you're still going to be without him. Debo's also an injury risk, but, you know, he's going to be good to go for week one. Who's that second outside guy? Terry's going to be on the outside. I kind of want to leave Debo in his role, whatever that is, moving him around, slot, whatever you're going to do with Debo. I don't want to move him out of his role. So who's stepping up on the outside? That leaves you Jalen Lane and Luke McCaffrey on the 53. And Jalen Lane can probably play out there, but I don't know that he's fully ready to do that yet, especially week one as a rookie. And Luke McCaffrey didn't have a very impressive camp. Maybe they have to call up Chris Moore from the practice squad just to be the number two outside guy if you don't have Noah Brown on Sunday, but not great. And this kind of, to me, was why when they had Kendrick Bourne in for a visit, I think he makes so much sense. So I hope they're able to get something done. I know he's not going to play this week, and he's going to either sign with probably the Niners or the Commanders after week one. I hope they can get a deal done with Bourne, because if you have Kendrick Bourne in there, I'd feel a lot better if Noah Brown were to miss some time.
I would rather see Luke and Lane than Chris Moore.
Well, I agree on that. But I just don't trust what they want to use Noah Brown for.
Do you buy what the staff, coaches, on and off record, will tell you how impressed they've been with Luke?
My eyes didn't see it. Just plain and simple. Now, maybe they're looking at stuff that we're not looking at, and they're trying to see different things, and obviously they have an understanding of what some of the reads were and whatnot, and maybe he is look more impressive than we're giving him credit for. I didn't see it, but if that's the case, then fine. Give him a shot. It's just when he's had opportunities, he hasn't exactly made the most of them.
Has not. At 12:30, Jory Epstein, Yahoo Sports. Jory wrote an awesome story about Jaden Daniels and his early morning pre-walkthrough walkthroughs. You'll hear all about it. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley.